last week I told the story about the man who had had the heart attack, and he was in the intensive care unit at the hospital, and the family was told he could not have anything that would shock him or disturb him or excite him too much. And then just about that time he got news, or the family got news, that a distant great uncle had died and left him $100 million. And the family didn't know how they were going to let this man know about this wonderful inheritance that he was going to receive. They were afraid he was going to be far too excited. And so they went to the preacher and they said, "Preacher, why don't you go and tell the man that he's inherited this money, and so you can break it to him gently." And so he goes and he breaks it to the man gently. He says, he builds up to it. He says, "How are you doing? How are things going? Can you be grateful and thankful for life?" "Yes, I can be grateful and thankful for life. I'm still alive." "How grateful would you be, let us say, God gives you $100 million. Isn't that just a wonderful gift that you could ever possibly receive? Your heart's broken or it's hurting, it's damaged. You have to be careful with the rest of your life. But if you had $100 million, wouldn't that be just wonderful?" And the man said, "Yes. What would you do with $100 million? And the man said, "I'd give half of it to the church." And the preacher died. Well, that preacher gets up to heaven. He gets up to heaven and he's in line at the pearly gates, and ahead of him is this taxi driver. And he's having this conversation with this taxi driver as they're waiting in line to get up to the pearly gates so that Peter can check him in. And the taxi driver says, "I used to drive through New York City, through Manhattan. I'd zoom in and out of traffic. I didn't pay any attention to the traffic laws. I didn't pay any attention to the speed limit. I just weave in and out of traffic. I could get people from lower Manhattan all the way up to Central Park without any trouble at all. In lickety-split, nothing flat. I'd even drive on the sidewalks to get them there. I was a really good taxi driver." "Wow," thanks the preacher. They get up to the pearly gates, and the taxi driver goes first, and he identifies himself and gives his name and what he did. St. Peter checks the computer and he says, "Aha, here you are. Welcome to heaven. You're going to be on thus and such a street, and you're going to have a mansion made out of gold. Welcome to heaven." And so the man enters through the pearly gates into heaven. The preacher looks at this and he's shocked and he's stunned, and he said, "Wow, that's amazing. I can't wait to see what I'm going to get." So he steps up and he gives his name. "I'm Reverend so-and-so, and I was a preacher for 50 years. And Peter checks the computer, and he's, "Aha, hello, Reverend. Welcome to heaven. It's good to have you here. You're going to be on thus and such a street, and your mansion's going to be made out of straw. And by the way, when you go through the pearly gates, don't forget to take a broom. We need you to be sweeping the streets of gold." Well, the preacher's shocked. "Well, I get a straw house and that dirty, rotten sinner of a taxi driver who used to disobey all the laws and all the rules and regulations, he gets a house made of gold and I got to live in a house of straw? I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ for 50 years. And Peter says, "Yep. Yep. In heaven, we think results are important. When you preached the gospel for 50 years, they slept in the pews for 50 years. When that taxi driver was driving, they prayed and prayed. How do we sow our gifts and graces? How do we sow, how do we use, how do we employ those gifts and graces that God has given to us? God has given us the ability to speak and to preach and to proclaim and to serve and to give. Do we do it? Or are they snoozing in the pews? Are we using the means of grace? Are we employing the means of grace in our lives? Or are we snoozing in the pews?" Jerry, in his stewardship moment today, anticipated something that I had done. I had done some of my research for my sermon today, and being a good United Methodist, I went to John Wesley's notes for this passage. Thank you, Jerry. I went to John Wesley's notes for this passage, and I was pleased to see that John Wesley said that the seeds here in this passage from 2 Corinthians, the seeds are opportunities and abilities to help others. The seeds that we're called to sow, the seeds that we're called to plant, The seeds that we're called to place into the good soil of the gospel of Jesus Christ, into the good soil of the church, into the good soil of the lives of those around us. Those seeds are the opportunities and abilities to help others. What have we been given? What opportunities and abilities have we been given to help others, to help others in their relationship with God, help others in their personal life and walk with Jesus, help others in the dark night of the soul, help others in the times of rejoicing, help others in the good and the bad, help others to see and to know and to experience the presence of God in their lives. What seeds have we been given to sow into the lives of those around us? And are we sowing them? Or are we hoarding them to ourselves, refusing to give, and instead hanging on to them for ourselves? What seeds do we have? Well, what seeds have we been asked to sow or plant in the life of the church? When we join the church, we promise to support the church through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. Those are promises that we give when we join the life of the church. We say we're going to participate in the worship life, the study life, the service life, the giving life, the witnessing life of the church. We've been given the seeds of God's grace. God's grace is God's love. We've been given the seeds of God's grace, and we're called to sow them into the life of the body of Christ. But do we do it? The church has offered us four ways to do it: through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. So the first question is, do we pray? Do we pray? Those people in that taxi, they were praying to survive it. My friends, do we pray for each other? Do we pray for the church? Do we pray for our community? Do we pray for our state and country? Do we pray for the world? Do you pray for each other? A good tool for doing that, for praying for each other, is found right here in our photo directory. Every single night during evening prayer before I go to bed, I take the directory and I turn to the page and I start to pray. And every night I pray for one row of you. Last night I prayed for Craig, Katie, Zachary, Aaron, and Wesley Jensen. I prayed for Loretta Kibler. I prayed for Linda King. I prayed for David and P.K. Kirkpatrick, the top line here on page 9. Monday night, skip a line, I will pray for Bob and Julie McElroy, Joe and Mary Louise McCannon, Mary Means, and Joe and Laura Milligan. Tonight, I'll pray for this line. Ooh, wow. Bill and Anna Knudsen, Susan Lampe and Barbara Gish, Jean and Carolyn Lockhart. That's going to take some extra praying, don't y'all think? Alan and Betty Martin. And for those who are not contained in the photo page section, there's the list in the back that I will go through in morning prayer. And I will pray for 5 in the list each morning. And over the course of a few months, I'll have prayed my way through, actually just 1 month, I'll have prayed my way through the directory, and I'll start over and do it again. Well, some of you may say, well, you know, I'm not necessarily sure I want to pray for some of those people. Well, guess what? We have to. The clergy in the North Texas Conference have our own photo directory of our own fellow brothers and sisters in ministry, our fellow pastors, Brian, and there are times when I have to pray through that photo directory, and I'm looking at that picture of that person that I don't particularly like, and do I want to pray for them? Now, you know, in the South, we say things like, bless your heart, and it's more of a curse than a prayer. Well, in this case, no. We have to pray. We have to pray for each other. There's a fabulous scene in Fiddler on the Roof when all the Jews are gathered around Tevye with his milk jugs and they're talking politics, and someone says, Lord, keep the Tsar, which is the Russian king. Lord, keep the Tsar. And all the others say, far away from us. And then they spit, and he has to cover his jugs of milk. Well, sometimes clergy will get together and will pray, Lord, keep the bishop far away from us. Spit. That's not what we're talking about, friends. We're talking about true prayer. Praying for God's will and God's goodness and God's grace, God's love, God's peace, God's presence with our sisters and our brothers in the family of faith. Do you pray? I offer you this discipline of using the directory to pray. If you don't have one, we have them in the office. Use the directory to pray for each other. Lift them up by name and by face before God. Do you pray for each other? What about the exercise of presence? Prayers? Presence. Well, you're here. At least you're here in body. As I said a few weeks ago, sometimes you can be present in body, but you're not present in spirit or in mind. Well, at least you're here in body. Do you exercise presence? We promise to support the church through our prayers and our presence. Do we sow seeds of God's grace through our presence in worship and Bible study and fellowship times together? Do we engage in presence with each other? Think about your attendance in worship. As I said a couple of weeks ago, you could miss 52 Sundays a year and God would still love you. The question is, would you still love God if you missed 52 Sundays a year? In other words, the praying and the presence isn't for God. God, by God's nature, has no needs. The prayers and the presence are for us, to build us up, to build up the family of faith, and to be present and to be recharged and refueled for daily living by partaking of this means of grace in worship, study, and fellowship together. Are you present with God and present in the life of the church? What about your gifts? Now, some people say, there goes Greg. He's now starting to get his hand into my wallet. They're talking about money. Uh-huh. Because you can tell what's important to you by how you spend your time and by how you spend your money. You can see what your priorities are by how you spend your time, presence, prayers, and how you spend your money, your gifts. And you can give more than just money. There's things that you can give as well as money. How do you spend your time? How do you spend your resources? We're called to give and support through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service. Not just money, but actions. Do you place your body and your actions where your mouth and your wallet is? Do you serve? We have many people here who serve. Some of them serve namelessly, thanklessly, for years and years and years. Mary Means over in First Service, she plays First Service, been doing it for longer than my mom and dad have been married. and she plays for Monday and Wednesday morning service at the nursing home. I got a kick out of her once. She said, I'm going to go over to the nursing home and play for the old folk. And most of the people there are younger than she is. Or Mary Lou, who yesterday came and was a presence, a welcoming presence here, welcoming the laity from the district who were coming for training for SPR, Staff Parish Relations Committee training for our district. And she was here to welcome. That was a ministry, a service of presence. Or Angela, you give of your time, your talents, your gifts, and your service. You give of your hands. When you serve the last and the least and the lost, the hungry, the senior citizens in our community, you give of yourself. And there are many, many, many more of you who give, who serve, and give of yourself so that others may have something to eat or hear the good news or realize and experience the love of God. We're called to plant seeds in these promises of prayers and presence and gifts and service and witness. We're called to witness to our faith, witness to what God has done for us, witness to the glorious good news of Jesus Christ in His life in our midst. We're called to witness through our words as well as our deeds of what Jesus has done for us. These are the promises we make when we come into the life of the church. It's the promises we reaffirm when we receive new members into the life of the church. It's the promises that we reaffirm when we reaffirm our baptisms. We promise that we will support, that we will sow seeds, that we will participate as means of grace for others through our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness. May we be about sowing seeds. May we be about sowing the seeds of God's grace in our lives and in the lives of others. And He who supplies seeds to the sower, because these are not our own seeds. These are all gifts that we've been given. Our prayers, they've been given to us. Our presence, life, has been given to us. Our gifts, everything that we have and are, has been given to us. Our service, the desire and the ability to serve and to do, has been given to us. Our witness, the affirmation of faith that we have, that we share with others, has been given to us. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. It's not as if you're ever going to run out of it, my friends. If you continue in faith here and now, you'll never run out of time to pray, to be present with God, to give of your resources, to serve, and to witness to the love of God in Jesus Christ. You'll never run out of time, of seed. Will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. Next week, we'll look at the righteousness of God and the thanksgiving that we have to give and how this message of sanctification moves us forward as people who are called to be hilarious, thankful, cheerful, joyous givers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
In your presence, Lord, let me learn at your feet. I will take
have been listening to a sermon by Dr. Gregory Neal, Senior Pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Commerce, Texas, and Rector of Grace Incarnate Ministries. Copyright 2016 by Dr. Gregory S. Neal, all rights reserved. For more information and for other sermons by Dr. Neal, visit us on the web at www.revneal.org. That's www.revneal.org. You are also invited to visit us in person at First United Methodist Church, 1709 Highway 24, Commerce, Texas, 75428. This program was produced by Dr. Greg Neal.